Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Luke tells us that the Christ child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And then again, after his visit to the temple as a 12-year-old, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is our text. Wisdom. We usually think of wisdom as something that older people have. And for those who are older, you probably appreciate that. When we think of the young, we think of those who are quick with the facts, but maybe a little bit short of life experience and of knowledge and of general common sense. Wisdom comes with age and experience, with gray hair and from the school of hard knocks. The last thing you expect is wisdom in a 12-year-old. And yet that's what we find in this morning's gospel reading. The wisdom of the universe, the holy wisdom in the form of a 12-year-old kid from Nazareth who is in the temple to be examined by the teachers on the eve of his becoming a man. And that's also how Mary and Joseph lost him. We heard it already. Part of it may have been that until the age of 12, a child walked with the women on their pilgrimages to Israel, to Jerusalem. But at 12, a boy could walk either with the men or with the women. And this may have been one of those cases of, I thought he was with you, and I thought he was with you. So where was he? He was with the temple teachers, who were questioning him to see what he'd learned from his parents and how well he'd been taught in his home synagogue. Had they done their job with the boy? Was he ready to take his place with the men of Israel? Now, Luke includes this story in his gospel. He's the only one gospel writer who tells us about this as a way of wrapping up the infancy and childhood chapter of Jesus' life. From this point on, Jesus would have been considered a young man, no longer a child. In Jesus' day, they didn't have the idea that we have of adolescence or of being a teenager. You were either a child or you were an adult. And 12 years old was the line. This was no ordinary 12-year-old, however, because this is the wisdom of God in the flesh. Here is the holy wisdom. Here is the wisdom in human flesh who ordered the entire universe. The wisdom that set the sun and the moon and the stars in their course. The wisdom who governs all things so that we can perceive him in the laws of nature. Every time we see the order of this creation that God has made, we are seeing his wisdom that ordered it. And there was more wisdom in the tip of this little child's finger than in all the teachers of Israel and in all the world. And yet there he sits among them, sitting with all those teachers, answering their questions, impressing them with his answers that are even better than the questions they've asked. And here he is, obedient also to his parents, as any well-behaved child. But this is no ordinary child. This is God's child, God's elect son, who came to save the world from sin and from death and from hell. But you wouldn't know it by looking at him there in the temple. There was nothing about his external appearance that said, this is God's son. You wouldn't have known it when you saw him laid in the manger and wrapped in swaddling cloths, or on the flight to Egypt, or working in the carpenter shop in Nazareth. Because this child blends in as one of us, because he literally is one of us. God in our human flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Now today is the 12th day of Christmas for those who are counting, and I know some do. Christmas is pretty much over by this time. I imagine your ornaments are off, your trees may be down. In the church, we're looking ahead to Epiphany, which is tomorrow. The Gentiles' Christmas, the visit of the Magi guided by the star to the young child Jesus. If you want to hear about that, come back tonight when we'll celebrate Epiphany as a church. Now, we don't often take two Sundays to celebrate the season of Christmas. I said that at the beginning today. Having two Sundays this year gives us a chance to reflect and look back on the whole sweep of how God's Son came to be with us. So I'd like to take you back for just a minute to reflect how God has brought his Son to be in our midst. If you turn to Luke's Gospel, the first thing you find is the angel Gabriel, who visits Zechariah in the temple to announce the coming of John, who will lead the way for Jesus. And then the angel goes to the Virgin Mary to announce the Word taking flesh in her womb as her child. Then there's the birth in Bethlehem and his being laid in the manger and the adoring shepherds and the angelic hosts praising God from heaven over Bethlehem's fields. There's the eighth day when this child is circumcised as a son of the covenant. He sheds his first blood and he receives his name, Jesus. And then there's the 40th day when they take him, his parents take him to the temple to present him as their firstborn to be redeemed by sacrifice and for Mary to be purified. Jesus lives under the law for us. And then finally, what we heard today. At 12 years old, Jesus sits in the temple with the teachers of the law, amazing him with his insights and his answers. Amazing even Joseph and Mary, who for everything they've been told and everything they've already been seen, still don't seem to know quite how to connect the dots. In fact, when they find Jesus in the temple, they chew him out like some kid who got lost in the mall. "Don't you know we were looking for you?" And Jesus responds with wisdom. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" The temple was his place, God's dwelling place on earth. Jesus had to be there because he is Son of the Father. And all this he does, from the angel announcing the birth to his circumcision and his presentation, and now 12 years old in the temple, all of this Jesus does for us and for our salvation. He does it to save you. He is fully human, and when he became man, he didn't cheat. He didn't leave out a single step. The womb, the manger, the home, the workshop, the cross, the tomb. He does it all. He does our humanity to death, and in dying, he rescues our humanity from death. And what we should be thinking of here as we see Jesus in the temple is how much is hidden in, with, and under his human flesh. How much is hidden in this humble yet deeply wise child? Because the eternal wisdom of the ages has come here to dwell on earth. The plan of God from all eternity to bring all things together under one head, to redeem the fallen creation from its bondage to decay. All of that was happening with this child. This child in the temple is the one who would do it. The spirit of wisdom is upon him. And there will be little glimpses, little hints of what lies hidden under Jesus' humanity throughout his life. Those little things that are peeking out during his earthly ministry. The miracles and his baptism and the transfiguration and ultimately in his death and resurrection and ascension. All of these little glimpses at the mystery as it's revealed over the course of time and in the fullness of time, that this is God in our human flesh. Christ is wisdom, a wisdom that we don't have, but we long for, a wisdom we seek to gain, but we cannot. He is a wisdom that no amount of study or of experience can acquire, but a wisdom that comes to us freely as a gift of God's grace, by his Spirit working through the Word, making us wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We heard in our first reading how Solomon prayed for wisdom. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for power. He could have asked for long life. And God did give him all those things. But he sought wisdom. Solomon knew that he didn't know how to tell the difference between right and wrong, or how to guide the people that were put under his care. So Solomon, the son of David, prayed for wisdom. Jesus, the son of David, is that wisdom come in the flesh. And hearing about wisdom brings us also back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve who were seeking wisdom in that garden. You know, the devil said, this will make you wise. And Eve believed it. She sought wisdom in knowing good and evil, something that God didn't want them to mess with. Because to know the creation as good and evil is to stand in judgment over the work of God. To know it as good and evil is to be able to call God's creation good or evil. But God doesn't make evil. He makes good. Evil is simply the corruption of the good, and evil is the using of what God made good against God. And so we become the judge, and we become even our own gods, like Adam and Eve did, deciding for ourselves what's right and wrong based on our discernment of good and evil. Truly, Adam and Eve became gods in their own eyes, and so often we do as well. Rather shabby and self-centered gods, of course. Gods who exercise our dominion to make ourselves rich or powerful or to gain an advantage over others. What Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, what we have inherited from them, is trading in the image of God to join the animals. Not following God's wisdom, but following instead our own instincts, our own inclinations, rather than the word to which we owe our existence. We become increasingly wise in the ways of the world and fools in the ways of God. But the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And God sent a child to make his wisdom known, to do his work, to do a job that belonged to God. God sent his son, born of the Virgin Mary, cradled in a manger, raised in a household, obedient to father and mother, to save the world from its own wisdom and from the chaos that that brings and the darkness and the decay and the death. We may chuckle a little bit at today's gospel reading as we see those teachers of the law who think themselves so wise and learned, but astonished at this seemingly precocious 12-year-old who knows all the answers better than they know the questions. We may chuckle and say to ourselves, if only they knew to whom they were talking. Because we know better. We know this is God in human flesh. We may laugh over the fact that Mary and Joseph seem to have lost the Son of God for a day or two. And wonder, how could this have possibly happened? He's your son, Mary. He's God's son. How in the world do you lose God's son? What kind of parents are Mary and Joseph that they couldn't even keep track of God's son on a family trip? But you see, that's because his divinity, his divine nature, is hidden in his humanity. The word become flesh. It's so easy to forget and overlook what God is up to in his hidden and foolish ways. Just think about how we react so often. We'll rush a baby to the doctor for medicine, and that's not a bad thing. But how slow are we at times to bring our children to the waters of baptism, to regeneration and renewal? How little do we think of that, and how highly do we think of the other? Or we're ready and prepared and teach our children to call 911 in an emergency, but do we call upon the Lord in the day of trouble? We're always thinking about our next meal, or many of us are, and some of us even complain at times about starving to death if we miss lunch. But do we experience the same hunger and thirst for righteousness when we miss the Lord's Supper? You see, the wisdom of God, but hidden in these things that look to our eyes so foolish. Joseph and Mary didn't get fully that Jesus was God's son in the flesh, And yet, how often have we overlooked God's wisdom as well and sought for better things? Now, the point isn't that we need to go out and find Jesus, because you would never find him on your own, by your own reason or senses. He's too deeply hidden, and we're too sick with sin that we just look in all the wrong places. Mary and Joseph searched high and low to find Jesus, but the one logical place is the place where he has to be, in his Father's house, where the Word and the Sacrament and God's holy gifts are present. And that's where you find him too, because that's where he finds you in your lostness and in your foolishness. You see, Jesus isn't the one who was lost. He's the Lord. We're the ones who are lost. And he comes in deep humility to find us. And he hides himself here under the water and the bread and wine and in these words to make us fools wise in him. And so wisdom has come to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Wisdom in your baptism. You've been washed with the wisdom of God, the wisdom for which Solomon longed, the wisdom the wise men sought in their travels from the east, the wisdom that brings light and life and order to the universe and to your life. And so, baptized and believing, you are wise to salvation through faith in Jesus. And that's a wisdom that will bring you through this life to life with God forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.